I'm Lizanne Flynn. I'm a master healer who works with all earthlings to reunite them within themselves and with each other, regardless of the dimension that they're currently in. Meaning, I'm a medium as well as an animal communicator, medical intuitive, and channel for all beings. I use the tools of shamanic journeying and soul retrieval to support animals and humans as they heal from past trauma. I'm certified as a Reiki master teacher and as a canine massage therapist. This is the Animal's Eye View podcast. When thinking about a subject for this week's podcast, I looked over my previous podcast because I don't want to repeat, and I'm sure everybody who's listening doesn't want to repeat either because that's boring, and first and foremost, I don't like being bored. I don't know about you all, but the reason why I listen to podcasts is because usually one of three things happens, and maybe all at once, maybe two out of the three, maybe one out of the three. Number one, I'm informed. Number two, I learn something, which is a little bit different than being informed. And I know you all know what I'm talking about. And number three, which actually now that I think about it is kind of a prerequisite to number one and number two, is that it's fun, that it's entertaining for me. I do realize that at times I have talked about things that, to be perfectly honest, the animals wanted me to bring up that perhaps haven't been what we might put in the category of being fun. And I think, as all humans everywhere are finding out, that we need to pay attention to the shadow aspect of things. There really isn't any other way out of this other than to pay attention to that. And I think sometimes, as perhaps we're experiencing now, when the shadow aspect has been long repressed and it kind of roaring back, and we're being asked to surrender and say, uncle, and to that, I'm sure the animals and the universe would say, yes, exactly. That's exactly the place that we would want you at. And of course, for most humans, that's a really uncomfortable position, right? Because it puts us in a place of vulnerability. It puts us in the place of the not knowing. It puts us in a place of, to be perfectly clear about it, lack of control. That I think a lot of us feel like we are a lot more comfortable in having that control in our experience here on this particular planet at this particular point in time. And I don't really know how else to illuminate that any further, other than to say for the animals, it may seem to some of us, like particularly for animals in the wild, that they live on kind of a knife's edge, that they live in that place of having to be aware of all the other predators in the area at any point in time. And if you step into that place of being an animal in the wild, you might also step into the place of, well, there's a significant not knowing. There's a not knowing of, am I going to be alive in the next 24 hours? Is my calf or young one that I recently gave birth to, are they going to be alive in the next 24 hours? And I think to humans, that would be a construct that we would probably push away as far and as fast as we could. And underlying that, though, the animals would say, but you're missing the whole point. You're missing the whole point of living in the moment. That doesn't mean that, say, for instance, again, particularly animals in the wild, they have camouflage abilities. They understand where to build nests. They understand where to make their dens. They understand how to, if this is part of their species design, if you will, to work together in a group to avoid predators. They also understand from time to time that, yes, indeed, on this planet and in this particular experience, there will be what humans would look at as loss. And the really remarkable thing is that they step right into the middle of that. They understand that living on that knife's edge of being in the moment and being in touch with shadow as much and as equal to they are aspects of life, that's what this whole experience is supposed to be about. That's it. They would say, you tell us that we lived moment to moment, and as a matter of fact, we do. And they would also say, when we run around chasing our tail, you laugh at us and you call us silly. To us, that's living in the moment and seeking that little tiny piece, and sometimes it turns into a great big huge piece of joy every single moment of the entire experience that we're here. And sometimes, you know, humans, we can ask just a ton of questions about that. Well, what makes that so? How is the design that way? And isn't there something we can do about it? And that last one is probably not my favorite. And to be frank, it's also not the animal's favorite either, because they would say, and you're trying to so hard to do something about that which, to a certain extent, you're not ever going to be able to do anything about, is kind of the point of your struggle. It's kind of the point of your stress. It's where humans are, most humans, I should say, in this experience are kind of all tied up in this huge knot of stress. And I honestly don't know of very many companion animals that I've talked with, and I would hazard a guess animals in the wild, they would say, no, we choose not to live that way. We understand that you think we're living on the knife's edge, and maybe that we are, but in that place of being, we think that we can live actually and experience actually most of what we're supposed to experience as it relates to gaining awarenesses on a soul path while we're down here on this planet. And so they see everything as being in relationship to the other. They're in relationship to the members in their family group. If they have a family group, they're in relation to all the other species in their geographical area. They're in relationship to all the other species on their half or even their quarter of the planet. We can pull that out to their half of the planet. We can then pull that out to the entire planet. They understand that this is a working partnership, and they also understand how important it is to be in right relationship, not only with themselves, but with all the other species with whom they choose to share this particular planet. And I know that you all have heard me say that sometimes the brutal honesty of particularly animal companions, and I would have to say maybe the brutal honesty of animals everywhere, is really something that a fair number of humans have challenges in dealing with. And I certainly, here in my little place of recording, would raise my hand and say, yes, absolutely. The times that I've communicated quite directly with my own animal companions has been times where I frankly have been left breathless because of the directness at which they connect with me and the directness of which we interact with each other. And to be very clear, there definitely have been times where I have not been happy about what they wanted to share with me. And case in point, this past week, I took both of my new feline companions, Little D and Hunter, and I'll have to tell you all the story about Hunter's name here in at the next podcast. And I posted about it in our Facebook group because I was just so struck by it. And I'll read to you what I posted. I said, believe it or not, as an animal communicator, it is a challenge for me to talk with my own companions. Like everyone else, there's an emotional filter that distorts at times. Other times, it's crystal clear, like today. We were on our way to their first vet visit. Both were challenged riding in the car. What cat has not ever been that way, although I know there are exceptions. Reiki helped a bit, as did calming music. I had a sense that Hunter especially might be worried that I was taking him back to the shelter. I told him that he'll be with me for as long as he lives. His response, "Does that mean that we'll leave before you do?" I replied, "Yes, probably so." There was a pause, and he said, "Okay, we'll wait for you then." Meaning, he and Lil D, his sibling, and all the others who've graced my life will be waiting for me when I transition. And then I went on to say in the post that luckily I was able to drive the rest of the way bawling my eyes out. And as a plus, the vet said he couldn't decide who was the sweeter of the two cats. Hashtag lucky me. And while that certainly is a bittersweet, brutal directness, there also have been times with clients, and as an animal communicator, the requests that I get probably more often than not, and sometimes is the genesis, the catalyst for someone reaching out for my services, is, "Can you please tell my animal not to do this?" Or, "Can you please tell my animal to start doing that?" And the really interesting thing is that we share not only our homes with them, but without realizing it, because we are not very energy savvy, a good majority of us, and I would certainly put myself in that category some days, that we don't understand how we also share and create with them a shared energy environment. So that the majority of these behavior issues that I get contacted about most definitely have to do with, at some point along the line, some behavior or some action on the part of the human. And to be equally as clear, these humans are not intending any deliberate or conscious harm. It's just that their field of view, if you will, their viewpoint, has not been expanded enough and perhaps is not graced in energy to understand that the laws of physics definitely apply. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction in the case of all companion animals everywhere. And that what we think is not necessarily a big deal to us is in fact a very big deal to them. And so when we think about having right relationship with our companion animals, the bottom line is that it far exceeds the kind of food that you give them, the kind of home that you live in, the fact that maybe from your perspective, my gosh, they have everything that they could possibly want. I don't understand how they could possibly be unhappy. That's when someone like me comes in and says, as I've said before, "You see this mirror? I know I'm going to ask you to look in this mirror, and you're probably going to feel like you're looking in this mirror on a bad hair day. But these things that you're asking of your animal companion are either, number one, simply not available to them, whether that's because of what their life was like before they came to you, the experiences that they may have had while they are with you. It could be some... Certainly, as I've said to you all before, we can't take breeding out of a dog. It's not going to be possible for me to say to a herding breed dog, yeah, don't follow them around like you do. Don't try and herd all the members of the household into one room. And if a different kind of a breed of dog, let's go the opposite direction, say, for instance, Chihuahua or even Terrier, yeah, it's okay. You don't have to treat everyone coming in to the house as an automatic and immediate threat. Because in fact, that's what their viewpoint is, and that's how they're going to do that. Does this mean that some of these behaviors that, and to be perfectly honest with you, most animals would say, "Oh my gosh, yeah, that barking that I do, that is completely and totally out of hand, and I need their help in fixing this," because they know themselves incredibly well. That doesn't necessarily mean that we can't reach a place of equity where everyone in the household feels calm and confident and comfortable. And we can also reach a place where everyone feels completely at ease with who they are in their particular experience. Because it doesn't work to blur the lines between animal and human. That places an undue burden on them. If you want something of them, it's so important to be very, very clear. If you're going to bring a new animal into the home, it's so very important, just like you would if you were bringing another human into the home. Hey, everybody, I'm thinking about doing this. I think it would be a good thing. We have such a lovely household, and I would love to share this with someone else who maybe doesn't have as lovely a home as we do. And you can kind of see the difference. And so then the whole equal and opposite reaction is when, say, for instance, an animal doesn't come home for a couple of days after you've adopted this sweet and adorable little precious being from your local shelter. Why? Perhaps because you didn't talk to them about it first. And all is not lost. And the point is, this isn't about asking permission. This is about seeking validation. And this is about giving validation so that you can, no matter what your situation is, go back to your animal companion and say, yeah, I see. I see now how it would have been so much better if I had done this instead of doing the thing that I actually went ahead and did. And I feel really badly about that. I'd really love to be able to understand more from your point of view and how we can kind of move forward. Because the bottom line is, with animals, typically, they don't hold grudges. And if they do, it's honestly not for very long. And if you still don't see a change in behavior, then I would probably come back to you and say, so where was your intention in asking or seeking this validation? Were you coming from a place of, well, Lizanne says I have to do this, so I guess I have to do this? As you might understand, with another human, be kind of like, well, why are you bothering to say you're sorry or talk to me about this at all if you're going to come in here with this attitude? These animals are masters in the language of energy, and we honestly are just beginning to take our baby steps towards that. At least that's how the animals see it. Thanks for listening today. I offer all new clients a free 15-minute consultation. Reach out if you think I can be of service via www.lizanneflynn.com. Come and find me on social media, Facebook, Twitterverse, Instagram, and LinkedIn. This has been the Animal's Eye View podcast. I'll see you next time.